Although, as the T-shirt says, I'm also from NSCL, I'm not going to talk about NSCL stuff today. It would be nice if I could see this on this, but we'll just start anyway. Okay. I'm actually going to talk about a project I did for Duke University Medical Center. They're interested in the way that smokers acquire nicotine in their body. And why is it interesting? Well, first, so what I'm going to first talk about is why people are doing this research, what's interesting about it, the detection system, how we get access to the electronics that the detection system is hooked to from Tickle. And then I'm going to show software and screenshots and give an idea of where the project is. So what are they doing? First of all, most people would agree with this statement, except maybe smokers. Smoking is pretty well known to be bad. But people smoke anyway, and why do they do that? One of the reasons may be that nicotine, as it's taken into the brain, provides you with a nice positive feedback that says, smoking is good, and so I keep on doing it. If we're going to check that out, we need to know something like when nicotine gets to the brain and whether it gets there in a reasonable time to actually provide a positive reinforcement. And we also need to know what the brain is doing when nicotine is there. So this is actually a piece of a larger study that couples with some brain imaging that I will not talk about. Okay, oops. All right. So what I will be talking about is how we get an understanding of where nicotine goes and when it gets there. There's previous work on this, which involved periodically sampling arterial blood. And what you then do is take these samples and analyze and say, oh, nicotine concentration as of such and such a timestamp was this amount. This has some problems. The subject doesn't like getting stuck with needles usually and getting arterial blood demands getting stuck with needles. You can't take arterial blood very often. So the time resolution of this technique is about 5 seconds or so if you have a subject with a lot of blood. So pretty recently, people learned to take nicotine and tag it with carbon-11. And this is where the nuclear physics, this is the one slide of nuclear physics. Carbon-11 is interesting. It decays by positron emission. Those of you who are science fiction buffs, this is antimatter. So you'll be happy. We're an antimatter thing. The positron or positive electron eventually, or pretty quickly actually, interacts with a real electron, matter, and emits a couple of photons or gamma rays at a characteristic energy that's, each photon has the mass energy of an electron, about a half an MeV. And because momentum likes to be conserved, those photons will come off in opposite directions, and then if you just happen to have detectors in the right spot, and require that you have hits in both detectors at the same time and count these, you know from counting rates roughly how many carbon-11s are in the field of these detectors. Okay, so physically, how do you do this? This is a hypothetical human being in a hypothetical frame. There are each of these little tubes here are detectors. You have a pair of tubes at the front and the back of the throat. As the smoke goes down the throat, you can see the carbon-11 go by or the nicotine go by. As the smoke enters the lungs, you can see it the nicotine up, taken up in the thoracic section of the body. And then as it gets to the brain, you can measure the nicotine there. And then you can also look at nicotine in the extremities with a pair of detectors on the wrist. The experimentalist Steve Lukeitz was kind enough to actually sit in this and take a picture of himself so you can see in real life what this looks like. Doesn't look very pleasant, but it's probably a lot better than having a bunch of needles stuck in each of those spots and people popping in tubes every 5 seconds to take some blood. So hopefully this will be a better mechanism. One of the things you also want to get an idea of is how much nicotine are they actually taking in. So there's this fancy cigarette holder, which is a detector, and all of the smoke is going to go through this hole here before it gets into the subject's mouth. And that meters the amount. That's looking at that's actually directly measuring positron decays, the positron decay, and that will give you an indication of how much nicotine the guy starts with. The electronics, for people who are hardware people, I'm a software person, but this is hardware. The cigarette monitor goes into a photomultiplier tube, so there's light amplification. It's a scintillating detector, so that each of these decay hits will make a little burst of light that you then amplify. That signal is then electrically amplified. This single channel analyzer selects on the 511 MeV peak that you're going to get from the decays, and then a level translator talks to a level translator takes the TTL output of that SCA and puts it into an Eccl scaler or counter. Each of the detector pairs that we saw goes into a pair of preamps, appropriate signal conditioning, a discriminator to say, yes, I've been hit. The signal I'm getting is not really noise, it's real. Another level translator, coincidence requirement, and so on. And then again, you're counting the number of hits in these pairs of detectors now. They're actually not shown here is that you can also count the hits in individual detectors, so you can get an idea of the background and coincidental background, accidental coincidences. So now we have to make this whole thing talk to some computer. What we use, and this is all stolen from the NSCL data acquisition system, what we use is an SBS Model 620 PCI to VME bus adapter. It's a kind of a nice thing. It's a fiber optic isolated pair of cards, one PCI card that goes in the PC and another card that goes in this VME crate. You get nice isolation. There we go. We can talk. We get nice isolation between the digital noise that the PC likes to produce and the relative electrical quiet you want in the VME crate and near your analog electronics. Well, we got to talk with this VME bus, and this is the only piece of non-tickle. This is the only extension involved. This is again stolen from the NSCL data acquisition system. Since I wrote that, I feel I can steal it safely. The way this extension works is it allows tickle to have access to arbitrary blocks of address space in the VME bus. I'm not going to talk a lot about the VME bus other than to say that the VME bus supports multiple address spaces, or address modifiers as they're called. So in addition to saying I want to create a block of address space, which I give a name, I have to specify which of these address spaces I'm actually living in, and then I specify the base address and the length of the block. So I have a certain amount of protection and granularity. I can point this thing right at a module and prevent random accesses outside the space that I want. This allows me now to write physical device drivers in tickle. Once I have one of these beasts, these names, these named address spaces, I then have a very simple interface that will allow me to get long words at some offset, long words or bytes at some offset. That's the switch. And then I can also set long words, bytes at some offset. So a very, very simple extension that's, I think, much, much less than it's a few hundred lines of code. If anyone is interested to know, I can also introspect the address spaces. I can list the ones that are there, and I can, of course, destroy an address space. So the whole software of this project is layered on top of this VME interface package, a very, very small C++ extension. There's an interface driver for the V830 scaler, which is implemented as a SNIT widget, and that makes it very easy for me to support and extend this thing to multiple scaler modules if I want, because the address space is encapsulated inside of the widget, or inside of the type, rather. And then there's a data acquisition chunk, which is pretty much pure tickle, and then TK and BLT to run the displays. Because as we know from our last talk, people need to see what they're doing during these experiments. Here's the run control panel of this thing. It allows you to identify experimental runs in two ways. You can put a commentary title on the thing. You can also put a runtime on the thing. Run number on this thing. This dwell time is the time between samples, the time you allow counts to accumulate in a scaler before you read it. Now, you might think that this dwell time would be an accuracy problem because, as you know, software tends to jitter, and scripted software tends to jitter a lot. the hardware that we're using, this V830 scaler, actually allows you to schedule latching of the counter. So you can say to the hardware, every the resolution I think is 80 nanoseconds, which is much better than we need, every some multiple of 80 nanoseconds, do a latch. And then all of the counters are thrown into some chunk of memory, which I can later read. You might also worry that if I have these dwell times short, from time to time I might miss one of those latch timings and lose a data sample. But again, this scaler saves my life and allows me to stay in tickle because it will actually the memory is actually a FIFO of multiple latch events. So as long as on the average I can keep up, I won't lose samples. I'll catch up. Once you've set the parameters of the run, you just click begin to start the run, and the begin button becomes a red end button, which you then click to stop the run. Here's a picture of the display of a run in progress. You can configure this. There's a tickle configuration file that gets read in at the beginning that configures both of these displays. You can display rates and total counts in individual detectors or detector pairs, scalars or scalar pairs. You can also display ratios if you're, ideally, if your coincidence logic works correctly, then pairs of scalars should have ratios that are pretty close to one. If you screwed up, they won't be. So you need to know that. You can also graph the counts or ratios of counts as a function of time. And here you can kind of see a simulated case where there's this initial inflow of nicotine and then it falls back off with time. These buttons here allow you to make this time scale the entire run length or the most recent chunk of time. And you can also, if you have several scalars that are at widely different rates, you can turn this thing into back and forth between log scale. This is a BLT widget. This is BLT notebook and BLT table, I believe. How does it perform? Well, it's a lot better than once every 5 seconds. We can keep up on the average with data rates every tenth of a second. Again, because of the hardware, we don't have to worry about skew between readouts of individual channels in the scaler, and we also don't have to worry about time skew between the read times, between the dwell times. And at that 0.1 seconds, while we occasionally may miss a sample time, on the whole, we keep up. So because of the multi-event nature of the scaler, we don't lose data. So this is good. I should say that when we started this project, the Duke fellows said that if they could get about a second or a half a second, they'd be happy. So as far as customer satisfaction goes, these are good numbers. The hardware, this is the electronic hardware, seems to be good to about 100,000 counts per second, at which point detector and electronic pileup makes this thing nonlinear. This is a graph of what happens when you just expose one of these detectors to a source of known activity. And what you do is you move the source closer so that the source covers a larger piece of solid angle, and you can calculate the number of counts you ought to get per second. And that's related to this activity. You can also count and then you can also see what you actually get, counts per second. You can see it stays pretty linear up to about 1,000K, and then it starts to tail off. So we know that we don't want to ingest too much nicotine, or we won't be able to, the electronics will not give us a good measure of a good linear measure of the nicotine. It turns out 100K is perfectly good. Status of the whole thing? Experimenters are happy with the system. They like the fact that it was in tickle. I'm happy with the system because it was very easy to throw the whole thing together. Tickle TK made it very, very easy to do prototypes and send them over to the Duke for them to try out and to look at and to make feedback. And then where we are now is final testing is being done. The experimenters hope to start with human subjects about now. With any luck, the next couple weeks they'll be putting humans in that chair and feeding them smoke. I was very happy with how easy it was to use TickleTK as a prototyping language. The approach I took initially was to send them a completely non-functional user interface and say, how do you like this? And this was all done remotely. I'm sitting in Michigan. They're sitting over in North Carolina. And how do you like this? And they email back suggestions, and then I send them another prototype and eventually start adding the functionality to the prototype. So, went well, I think. Questions? Yeah, Richard. Stephen Lokietz. It's the PET imaging group in the Duke Medical Center, and they have there's a subgroup on there that's interested in smoking behavior, I think it is. Yes. Well,
I'm interested in this positron electron interactions you're getting from carbon 11. It seems like you're working too hard on all this. If you just fed them enough carbon 11, you just watch where the head hurts. You know.
Yeah.
So you activate the tobacco.
The tobacco is activated. That's correct. Of course, if you did that, that might provide the negative feedback, so they wouldn't smoke, right? And that might be the best way to do it. Yeah, the tobacco is activated. It turns out to be quite an expensive process, so they're doing a lot of source runs to make sure that this stuff really works the way they understand before they actually start building the tagged tobacco for people to smoke.
They have a reactor down there.
I'm not quite sure how they tag it, to be honest. How do they find about smoking? Well, I think the idea is that they're already smokers, and so they feel pretty good about smoking. They get that little rush of nicotine in their brain, and all we know is when it happened and when they add the PET imaging component, which areas of the brain get activated. Yeah.
No.
Half-life of carbon 11 is about 23 minutes, if memory serves. I actually had it on the slide and decided to take it off. That's right.
How much of the carbon in the nicotine was actually carbon 11?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
What is the carbon? What is the nicotine? When the carbon 11 decays, where is it decaying?
Let's see. So if it's positron emission, I'm not a nuclear physicist, we have one here, but let's see, if it's positron emission, it means that a proton is going to a neutron, right? So it's going to go to, what's one down? Whatever one below it on. Boron 11, you said?
Yeah.
Because a proton will go to a neutron and emit the charge.
It won't be nicotine anymore.
No. Probably not. I hope not. I would guess that the medical people have actually thought of this.
And it's probably not the only afternoon light in there.
That's what I was wondering.
Well, I'm sure that there's natural carbon 12 in there, which there's got to be because there's natural carbon. I mean, that's part of the world, right? Yeah.
So just get 10 good samples a second. Can you characterize, where the performance is, where that time is going? I mean, you're happy with it. What if you wanted 100?
Well, if I wanted 100, if I look at the performance, it's mostly sitting in that SNP device driver. So if I had to make the performance go up, I would probably make a buffering device driver that I could make a tickle call into and get 1,000 samples back or get 10 samples back.
But if you interpret it all faster, you might be able to get
more. Might be. Yeah. As I said, the original spec was for about a half a second, 1 second to a half second, so there's not a lot of push to look for performance at this point. Is that it? All right. I guess I'm next after lunch, so I'll just leave this here.